Well, I appreciate that you've hung with us this several days, and it's probably been torture for some of you. At least now when you... And that was Mac's plan the whole time. He'd get me down here, and everybody says, good gracious, we had it a whole lot better than we thought we did. You serve bologna for about a week, and everybody's back to go to ribeye. Thank y'all for letting me come down. And now, if he'd have finished the story a moment ago, I was very embarrassed to call my bank. I was at the table, and I said, it don't even show that somebody tried to get money. And then customer after customer behind us, it was the same thing. Now, he didn't tell y'all that they were rejecting everybody's call. And I hadn't seen his feet, but I bet they could use a little help. I mean, you got feet that's 80 years old, you know they probably need recapping and plugging or whatever. They did a great job, although I couldn't understand many words. They did a great job. And by the way, there's enough hay left he left in my truck. His poor horse could eat for 3 days off what he... Y'all paying him too much. He don't care. Just dump it anywhere. He's got it, you know. Let me tell you, I've been blessed to preach all over Texas and meetings, whether I've had... I had one in Indiana one time. I've been in Africa, and I've preached everywhere. And except for my home congregation right now, this is probably my most favorite place to be. And I know it's a small group, but that's what makes it good in a way. It's more personal. It's a little more, it could be a little more nerve-wracking for some. I've preached in front of 600. Well, I can't even know them. And I take my glasses off so I can't see their face. It's just a blur. And I know I'm not going to be back, so it doesn't bother me. I didn't think I was coming back here. But... It's like the third installment of The Godfather. He said every time I tried to leave the family business, they just pulled me back in. But I appreciate being here. I love to be down here. And Mac and June, especially June, make your stay so pleasurable. Just won't hardly let you do anything for yourself. They're the most, the greatest host and hostess you'll run into. Mostly hostess. But I've enjoyed it. And you folks have made me feel so welcome. And so maybe tonight we'll say a little something that something for you to consider. The lesson is called The Value of a Demonstration. What was the name of that vacuum cleaner they used to come door to door selling? Do you remember?
Kirby.
Kirby. Sometimes they might even, you know, they would say, would you let me vacuum a room and show you how great this machine is? Don't know how many of those overpriced things they sold. Now, they were good. Don't get me wrong. You can't throw off on their machine because it was a good machine. But very expensive. But that's how you sold it. You showed how valuable and how capable this thing was. Do you remember I Love Lucy episode? She got to thinking she could sell those vacuum cleaners. And they'd knock on a door and they'd open and she'd throw a pile of dirt in their living room. So they'd have to let her vacuum it up. And always loved that episode. But you remember some of the most valuable lessons you've ever learned was shown to you. I can remember my dad showing me how to change a tire. I can remember my mother showing me how to change a fan belt. Her daddy was a mechanic. And I had a water pump that went out on my Oldsmobile in high school. And my mother said, take my car to school. When I got back, she had just got through putting the radiator back in. She had put a water pump on my car. She loved to play sports, but man, she could do pretty much anything she wanted to do. She showed me how to cook. She said, it's not a guarantee you're going to find a woman for a while, and if you do, she may not know how to cook. So she taught me how to cook certain foods, and so that's always been great for me. Probably all of you remember probably the early mid-70s Madge with the Palmolive commercial. You remember a lady be sitting in a salon and they'd have her fingers in this green liquid. And she said, you know, there's a dish detergent that's really soft on your hands. She said, really? She said, you're soaking in it. You know, and they sold a lot of Palmolive over that. Women said, I don't want them dishwashing hands. That Palmolive, it's supposed to be that good. You probably remember a car you bought. Used to, they'd get in there with you and tell you all the features of your car, and they really sold it to you. Now, I say all that because the word demonstration is key to the lesson tonight. We're going to talk about God's demonstrations, and then later we'll talk about, hopefully, your demonstrations, good or bad. But think about God, the demonstrations throughout the Bible that were sometimes demonstrations of love, of concern, of seriousness of the moment. Say, Moses, the burning bush, take off your shoes, for you are now walking on holy ground. There was a demonstration of letting Moses know who he's coming into contact with, how he must approach him. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 10, when the two young men are burned to death, Nadab and Abihu, and later God told Moses, you tell Aaron that those who approach me must approach me as holy. You better treat me with that kind of respect. What great demonstrations. Even the burning of the two young men. Great demonstration for us years later. That when God says to do something a certain way, that always comes up in my mind. I try, when I study with people who don't seem to have that appreciation of the authority of the scriptures and of who God is when he said something, I take them to that one. And I said, that's the same God right there that still rules. Think about Uzzah. Reached out and touched the cart. Reached out to touch the ark to steady it, and God struck him dead. The problem? Uzzah wasn't supposed to be the one touching it. They weren't bringing it back the way they're supposed to bring it back. Everything about it was messed up. God is precise, and he's had to demonstrate that at times throughout the Bible. But he also demonstrated often his care, love for us. We've talked about the creation. When you look outside and you look at your children and grandchildren, those perfect little fingers, and you have to appreciate the demonstration of his power and love and concern. Genesis 2:18, I'll bring it up again. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And then there was a great demonstration of the first surgery, giving him his wife. Those words that he said later, that you would cleave to each other, leave your mother and father. I try to teach young people that before I marry them. Your mama can't run this business from her house, and your daddy can't run it from his. This is now your family. He or she are the most important people in your lives now. They are secondary. That doesn't make them lower class, but now that your spouse is to be the most important person on earth to you. And God, when he brought her to him, he was demonstrating this the whole time. He also has given us a lot of laws and rules that he'll judge us by. And this is, I guess, one of the greatest demonstrations that we'll ever have. You can read through it and find out so much. We talked about that as we talked about the Word of God. But he's never going to randomly judge us. He's not going to... I don't know why I see it in my mind that way, but like we're in line on Judgment Day. I don't know that it's going to be that way. I don't really know. Just like when you watch Charlton Heston when he led the children of Israel through the Red Sea on the movie, it looked like they were 3 by 2 deep, 3 wide, 4 wide, I don't know. Most likely it was maybe a couple of miles wide. I don't know. Judgment Day will take a long time if we're just in line 1 by 1. I don't know how it's going to work. But that's what I think of. But I also know that when He judges us, it's going to be consistent, and it's going to be by this book. So there's nothing better than knowing what the rules are and the consequences. A lot of lessons He shows throughout Scriptures. He demonstrates the reward. Think about children of Israel. They got into Canaan. They got to settle the land. But there was consequences. He said, when you start following after other gods, or you start doing this, He said, you're going to lose it. And they did. Think about the book of Leviticus, about all the laws. A lot of them to just keep us healthier. That's a good demonstration. General Rommel had most of his troops sick in Africa because they didn't even follow the simple rules that you can read in the Bible about getting rid of a human's waste. And they were passing right back through it in the sand as they made trip and trip back and forth. And his troops got sick. All of that stuff's right there in the Bible for those who are willing to look. I think that His laws, the rules, commandments, whatever you want to call them, I think it shows how much He thinks of us. And there's times that He does that even when we don't deserve it. Think about Exodus. Even while they were out wandering around, they'd murmured, been disobedient, lack of faith, complaining. He still clothed them. He still fed them. That was a great demonstration of His love for them, even in their disobedience. I think about my children. We didn't kick them out in the cold when they messed up, did we? I had a teacher in the second grade, Mrs. Evans, that would do that. If it was cold weather outside, instead of paddling you, if she got angry, she'd make you take your coat off and go stand outside. I promise y'all are going to think this is a... Miss Evans, I saw her make young people sit on a glass Coke bottle and try to write their homework when they'd done wrong. Finally, even back then, when teachers are always right and coaches are always right, parents finally rose up on Miss Evans. She lost her job. I remember having to write something left-handed because she was angry with me. That was a pretty minor deal with her. But stand outside in the cold without your coat. Oh, she did that often. But a man by the name of, or a young fellow by the name of Patrick, I can't remember his last name, he spent a lot of time sitting on a Coke bottle, writing with his left hand. Fall on the floor, you hear the glass bottle tinkle around. It's a wonder if something didn't break. She was hateful. That wasn't much of a demonstration to me. She's still living, too, and works at Walmart. I go back home to Newton, Mississippi, and she's in there working. And I just want to come over that counter. I remember you. You see, a demonstration can put a deep imprint on your head. My dad and I had a lot of demonstrations that I still remember. I remember one of the worst belt whippings because then I was sent on to football practice. Got in a fight because they were teasing me about, they could tell I'd been crying. I said, well, if you'd have been where I've been, you would too. And I'll never forget that whooping. Probably kept me out of jail originally. Some of those whoopings did. But even in Psalms and Proverbs, but Psalms, we think of the comfort that is there. I do see demonstrations there of how to pray, what to pray for. David's prayers are so wonderful. And let me tell you, if you're down and out, you're not feeling well, go read some of those prayers. As David talks about troubles, brother, he had them. Now, a lot of them were self-inflicted. And isn't that the way it is usually? We do things that hurt us. We suffer for them. But God's willing to listen. And David would pray to Him and God would help him. But they're full of prayers and advice for us to consider and help us. But the greatest, Romans 5:8, here's the theme verse for tonight. Romans 5:8. Here is a perfect demonstration of how God feels about us. It says, God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Any of you have ever studied with somebody and they said, I just live a terrible life and I need to get my life in order before I go to church. I got to get better before I go assemble with those people. It's really very dumb, isn't it? It'd be like you've got pneumonia and you say, when I get a little better, I'm going to go see the doctor. That's basically what you're saying. So when I hear people say, I'm just not good enough. I don't need to be going to church. I've got to get my life straight. And I say it to them, you can't get it straight until you go and gather with people who want to do right and be with God. And that verse right there, God demonstrated. His demonstration was Jesus Christ on a cross. His willingness to let Him come. Christ's willingness to be sent. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, there was a blind man that Jesus heals. And the apostles, His disciples, they said, well, what caused Him to be blind? Was it Him or His parents? There's some kind of sin involved. And He said, neither. This was to show the power of God. He heals him. And He said, while it is day, I must do the deeds of the Father. For the night is coming when I can't do these things. I'm paraphrasing. What a demonstration of power and love and concern for somebody. But this one, God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, while we were at our worst, we still needed love. So there's a wonderful verse that we need to pattern our lives after that type of thinking. How do you demonstrate your faith in God? Do you go ahead and do what God said, even though it's not popular? Sometimes it's not. It doesn't even seem practical. I've worked a job before in retail. Ended up losing my job there because I told them I was going to go to preaching school. I wanted to be up front with them. And this was it was the day the Twin Towers came down. Never forget it. And He fired me. We don't need your kind here. I was going to work till January or December when I'd leave to go to school. And I was trying to be honest with him. And he said, I don't need anybody. The district manager was telling me, the store I ran, he said, I don't need you here proselytizing. And I said, well, have I done anything? Have you heard anything? And that didn't bother him. He didn't like me because of I was too religious for it. Isn't that sad? I had a feeling he might do it. And I'm not pumping my chest, but I bet a bunch of you have had to make a decision that because of who you are, you might be ridiculed. I bet you some of you young men in here, some people at school don't really care for your religion. I can remember my kids, preacher kids, they might be made fun of. You goody-two-shoes, won't do nothing that we do. Your dad's basically, you know, overbearing and whatever, and I was. Had a young man come to visit my daughter to date her. And I kind of had him figured out. Max said, I'm a pretty good judge. I already had him culled out of the herd. And I sat by him on the couch and I just grabbed his knee and I said, son, as long as you bring her back in the same condition you found her, we'll be great. But any deviation from that, I'll kill you. I said, I hope somebody will stop me. But I said, if you hurt her or if anything goes wrong, I'll kill you. And he broke up with her a week later. But I'd caught him before at 4 in the morning. I'd have to have a diet, Dr. Pepper. There's none in the house. I'm having a fit. I'd go get it. And I ran into him. He's drunk, staggering around. I already knew him. But by faith, how do you demonstrate your faith? God's demonstrated in every way all of the love, the concern, the seriousness of things. But He does require some demonstrations on our part. Acts of faith, whatever you want to call them. I think about how are you demonstrating your being Christ-like or loving God and what He's told us with your family. Are you raising your family like God would have you raise them? That's a wonderful demonstration if we're doing it right. Not only is it for them, for when they have a family, but there's people watching you. I got some neighbors across the street. I can't convert them. They're really good people, though. And they've always appreciated that my kids weren't getting in trouble all the time. They weren't perfect. But I never picked them up at the jailhouse. I never had that kind of stuff go on. Well, man alive, is there just to the country we live in, if you've got a good family and their church going and they're good citizens and all those things, what a great demonstration to your community around you. The building block of civilization is family. And then, hopefully your community, and then it goes, spreads out. But when you look at Washington, D.C., you can kind of see, you can go back to that building block of family, it's a mess. It's a mess. Are you setting up priorities in your families for godly things? I know when I was a kid, there wasn't a Sunday morning meeting and are we going to go to church? It was that you didn't have those thoughts. You were going to worship the next day unless you wasn't feeling well. And so, how are you doing on that demonstration in your life? Are you and your mate faithful to God and encourage one another and that sort of thing? It's very important. And how you treat your family. I feel guilty now. I know I was overbearing with my first one. I lightened up a hair on the second one. But partly, he said, I didn't have to get the whippings my sister got because he watched them. And my daughter will say, you just really protective of him. You really lightened up on him. And he said, I just wasn't dumb as you were. I've seen him beg me to quit spanking her. And I think that demonstration had an effect on him. Sometimes the next one may not have to have as many spankings. And if there's some of you in here who don't like spankings, I hope I'm not offending you. I don't care. They're done now. I can't take them back. And I wouldn't take them back. Reason I wasn't in jail, my daddy whooped me. I was telling, I believe, Mac, on my mother's side of all the boy first cousins, I'm the only one that's never been in jail or prison. Used to be two of us, but he's in jail now. But Doyle Moore, my father, there were several demonstrations. Now, he said it's because he loved me. I thought he was just a sadistic dictator. But it made an indelible impression upon me. How about your obedience to scriptures? There's a demonstration. People will see it in your daily living. I think in a way it's kind of we can't pay God back for everything He's done for us. But that is something He wants from us. The one thing God does not own is your obedience. And that's why it is so wonderful to Him for you to choose the right way. Because you chose Him. Obedience is better than what? The fat of rams. You can write a big old check. You can sacrifice a herd of whatever. Everything you give Him was His anyway. The one thing he doesn't have is your willing obedience. So that when you do obey, you demonstrate to God how much you appreciate and how much you love Him and His Son. God doesn't care what you got in your checkbook. Now, He requires everybody to give a certain way. But that means nothing because you're only sharing with Him what He already gave you. But for you to willingly bow your head to Him, not only literally, but figuratively, when you're thinking about making decisions, but before you always make them, you first say, is this best for me to get to God? Is this what He would have me do? You consider Him in every decision. That's pleasing to God. That is a demonstration of your appreciation for the things that He did for you when you didn't deserve it. We still don't deserve it. I had a member of the church years ago. She thought her husband was cheating on her. He was my doctor. I called her one day. I said, can I speak to the doctor? And she said, Chris, and she was crying, I don't know where he is. She didn't know what he was doing. I wrote an article for the newspaper, and she read it. And that's what I used. I used that verse, the one God demonstrated His love for us, Romans 5:8. And I wrote in there, that is God loving someone when they don't deserve it. And I said, sometimes with each other, we don't deserve other people's sympathy and love because of the way we've been acting. But the mark of a good Christian is when you go ahead and extend the love anyway to them because they need it. They don't deserve it. And she called me and said, I really needed that. Because she still loved her husband. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in his life. And right now I don't think he deserves too much of it, but I still love him. And they stayed together till he died. So remember that. If you get nothing else from this lesson, that one thing that everybody can give God is your obedience. Just do what He tells you to do, and everything's going to be fine. That's pretty much what Ecclesiastes, the last two verses, say. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's it. That's your whole duty. How about a demonstration that we love God by our interaction with the world? You know, it's hard to spread the gospel in a country where every house nearly has a Bible in it. The gospel's been shared in this country. I think we get confused at times with what is evangelism. Very few people in this country have not heard of Jesus Christ. But the thing we're doing now is more like Aquila and Priscilla teaching Apollos a little more thoroughly what he already knew. And that's needed. That's definitely needed. But let's don't fool ourselves. We're not like in a foreign country where they've never heard of God. I was in places in Africa where they hadn't. And that was, to me, as for a preacher, to be somewhere they never heard and I get to be the one to share it with them, I felt like the most honored individual there was to get to share that with them. Over here, we're actually talking to people who've got a little bit of knowledge about who God is, who His Son is. But whatever the situation, demonstrate your love for God by trying to take an interest in other people and their spiritual lives. I think that if we're careful not to offend, you don't want them, you know, they'll automatically think they're judging me. They say I need Jesus, so they're thinking I'm a horrible person. There's a way to go about it. I think for years sometimes in a church, we beat people over the heads with what they needed to do. At least we've been accused of it. But there's a lot of ways to demonstrate our love for God, to try to reciprocate just a little bit. He did so much for us. And if we'll just turn around and let our actions show Him what we're about and who we are for and who our faith is real and it's strong. And I'll sometimes set myself up for failure. It makes you stronger too. The more time you demonstrate your love towards Him, you become fearless. I think about people in the Bible who were that way. Moses. Different ones who just, after their faith got as strong as it could get. Moses was just, he headed things head face to face. He tackled even his own brother and sister with problems. Just a fearless man for God. But it didn't start off that way. Didn't start off that way. So we'll end our lesson tonight with the invitation. At this moment, if you're not a Christian, you could demonstrate to God that you want to be one of His spiritual children. If you're one of His spiritual children, but you're not living right, you could do something about it tonight to demonstrate to God, I want to make a change. I'm tired of living this way. Just like we talked about last night, that you don't want to sleep another night with the frogs. You don't want to spend another night in sin. Why don't you fix it? Show God you're serious. I've got a couple that for 3 years they've been talking about getting married, and they just won't come around. Oh, but one of them needs to obey the gospel, and they both need to get married because they've been living together. They've got a child now. It's a year old. They're not serious. Are you serious tonight? Are you ready to demonstrate what you're about? We're going to have an invitation song. You're leading the song. If you have a spiritual need that you would like the brethren to help you with. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go home tonight and you've got some sin in your life that's more of a private nature. You can take care of that. It doesn't require coming up here. But if you'd like prayers of encouragement to help you do that, whatever it is, we stand ready to assist you. Why don't you come while we stand?